Yes, sir.
Is Josh on the line, Joshua?
Josh Lieberman?
Josh Lieberman, are you there? So should we wait for that as well for another, I guess it would be a half hour, and then we could go to other things on the agenda?
That we can certainly come back to it right after the open forum if that's your pleasure, Mr. Chairman, or how you'd like to move forward. But if that's the case, we could leave the other two petitions and just continue down the agenda to keep moving until that 2 o'clock open forum period.
Yeah, let's do that. And so that would take us to proposal, which is number 13, non-meandered waters navigation lane process.
All right. Good morning again. Good afternoon. I guess we're into the afternoon. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Secretary Hepler, Kevin Roebling here, Deputy Secretary with Game Fish and Parks. I will be walking you through the proposal sheet on page 89 of your books. This is the proposal sheet directly pertaining to establishing a petition process to create a navigation lane to close non-meandered waters. If you recall back in the special session during 2017, there was a bill passed, the non-open water compromise, 18, I'm sorry, that really addressed this idea of being able to close off portions of deeded flooded property, non-meandered water, and then essentially the landowner has that ability to close off certain areas of the state. To date, we have about 4,500 acres closed of non-meandered water of the about 250,000 acres of accessible, publicly accessible non-meandered waters throughout the state. So not very many landowners to date have closed deeded private property that has been flooded since, you know, a lot of it has been since 1996. And Day County in particular has seen about 30% of the landscape there covered in water. So a lot of flooding has occurred in the last 25, 30 years, and a lot of that water is on top of private property. So this then brings us back to 412316. It is a section of the open water compromise. It is a section that touches upon the development of a petition process. The commission shall promulgate rules to establish a process where a member of the public can petition the commission to insert a navigation lane through closed non-meandered water. And that is why we're here today to discuss this proposal. In front of you on this proposal sheet is just that. It is the process outlined in rule that would allow a member of the public to petition the commission and request a navigation lane through closed non-meandered waters. In statute, they lay out two criteria, and you can look this up if you Google SDCL 412316. You can look up the two criteria. The marked portion of the non-meandered lake is directly between a point of legal public access and a portion of the non-meandered lake open for recreational use. And the other criteria is there is no alternative legal public access or improved legal public access on the portion of the non-meandered lake open for recreational use. So those are the main two criteria the legislature wanted the commission to consider while looking at these petitions received from the public. So, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'm going to just walk through the sample rules here that we outlined on the proposal sheet itself. The first sample rule would be 4104-06-06, and this is the navigation lane petition. And you can read the language there, but what this does, it establishes a process, again, so a member of the public, if these two criteria are met, that has to happen first, a member of the public can petition the commission to insert or put a navigation lane through a closed portion of non-meandered water to get access, legal public access to a piece of public land or water behind that closed piece of non-meandered water. So that's the first part of it. That just develops the process. The second part of it is if the commission were to grant the petition or modify the petition in some way, then the next step would occur. And that next step is establishing the navigation lane. And there's just a few stipulations here in rule that the department is recommending at this time. The individual shall take the most direct path to the open, non-meandered body of water and shall not recreate in any manner while in the navigation lane. So no fishing. It's essentially getting from point A to point B in the most direct way possible and not recreating within that navigation lane, obviously. The department would be responsible for marking the navigation lane, and the following navigation lane would, so then behind that would be the following navigation lanes would be spelled out in rule. Obviously, we don't have any currently in rule because we've had just one request here very recently on Pepper Slough. In the last couple years, the non-meandered open water compromise has been implemented. This is the first time a member of the public has requested a navigation lane through a closed non-meandered water. So the department does not expect a lot of these requests, a lot of these petitions, if you will, once the petition process is put in place. But if with that action taken today, this proposal sheet would go out for public comment, and then we are hoping to have the finalization 60 days in January during our commission meeting then. So with that, commissioners, are there any questions at this time pertaining to the actions within the proposal sheet today?
Anybody have questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire. I guess I've talked to Kevin a little bit, I guess, on this topic. One of the main concerns, I guess, is it's not in the legislative wording, I guess, that ended up in codified law, but the practicality, I guess, of some of these things, I don't know, but I think before we entertain a lot of requests on this, I mean, if it's practical, I mean, is this, can this be done without encouraging or requiring parking along the roads for vehicles? Should it be a boating situation? Damages to the road, you know, there's just a lot of things that codified law didn't address, the liability of the damages done. There is in there with no ingress and no egress, but anyway, the speed limits, there's just a few things that I think that we need to at least entertain as conversation pieces before you know, before we think we're just ready to receive these requests. I'm just aware that it gets to be kind of a twisted mess when you start actually putting practicality in something like this, because the way these flooded areas are, the roads aren't wide enough for parking as well as transportation, and it just can, a lot of problems can ensue. So with that, that's, I guess, the comment I wanted to make.
Through the chair.
Yes, Kevin.
Commissioner Whitmire, you bring up some very great points. And at the end of the day, I mean, those conversations can definitely be vetted during the, you know, the comment period or the vetting of a certain petition in particular. I mean, once we receive a petition as a commission, as a department, the department would lay all those things out in greater detail, you know, other alternative sources of access. You know, the road condition, the actual access condition, are they just getting on the ice, or are they actually trying to dump a boat off, let's say a road right away, those sorts of things. I mean, and at that point, you can grant or deny the petition based on those somewhat arbitrary things. This first step, though, is to develop just a process so a member of the public can actually submit a petition to start the process, essentially. We don't even have a rule right now that a member of the public can petition to start the process. Once that process is initiated, I think all of those things you mentioned, Commissioner Whitmire, need to be considered.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Commissioner Sharp?
Thank you. This would be for Kevin. I guess one of the questions I have, would staff would staff review the request initially prior to, you know, if this process was set up, would staff go over with the person making the petition or talking about making a petition to verify that what they're trying to do is reasonable, if you will.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Yes, Commissioner Sharp, we absolutely would. I mean, we're always more than willing to work with adjacent landowners and just really looking at the situation at hand. We would send staff there to actually do a site visit. We would make sure that these first two criteria that are laid out in statute are met. The no alternative legal public access piece, that's a pretty high bar already set because of section lines and because of the fact it doesn't necessarily say water access, it just says legal public access. So there are definitely some things there the department would share with the commission during that petition process phase and make sure that you guys get the entire picture of the landscape and the situation.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Sure. Yes.
I guess what I'm looking for is would staff go over that prior to the petition? Because what I would hate to have us do is have a petition process. The commission gets involved only to find out that after staff goes out and visits, the petition should have never been allowed to begin with. So,
well, there are going to be certain
to do a pre-investigation to make sure that we're heading down the right path, that we're going to take up the commission's time to do a public process that you have that staff has verified that it's a true and actual request.
Yes. Okay. Nope. I definitely am tracking you now. And with every petition, most every petition, me or Tom or Mr. Kutilnik, our legal counsel, we will speak directly to the petitioner and talk them through those things you mentioned, making sure that it is a valid petition, making sure the criteria that are laid out are valid, and making sure that they are meeting those requirements. And John, just his camera lit up, so I can let him chime in here as well.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. John Kutilnik here, staff attorney, for those listening. So the way that we have it set up, the idea was to treat it a lot like how we use the term petition, and you guys are familiar with it right now. So that, I mean, that's ultimately what these individuals would be asking for is a rule change, i.e. a new legal description under that new sub rule that you would potentially create. So while, yeah, we'll absolutely do our due diligence to go out and make sure that this is a true issue or whatever, I mean, we always do that to make sure we can provide a recommendation to the commission. But as far as barring somebody from coming to petition for a change, I don't think we would have the ability to do that, just like we don't for any other petition for rule change right now. Does that make sense, Commissioner Sharp?
No. I guess my point is if, you know, based on what we've seen on how people approach the petition process, they approach the, you know, they put the petition together and they think they've jumped through all the hoops and everything else, and we start the petition process, and then, you know, we have the proposal in front of us, and then staff goes, yeah, I guess we were looking at it and there's legal access right over here, and the petitioner goes, well, shoot, I didn't know that. It'd have been nice if somebody would have mentioned that to me.
Yeah, Commissioner Sharp, those conversations would have happened before that step.
That's all I'm trying to verify.
Yes, sir. Yep. Point taken. Absolutely.
I'm not trying to prevent anybody from coming there, but I based on my limited time, I'm a new commissioner, and based on my limited time on the commission, there has been apparently a lot of confusion on how to make a proposal, how to do a petition, what's involved, and so I just think that's really helpful to spend time, more time up front, so we spend less time after the fact, and I support everything that Commissioner Whitmire brought up. I think that's a real issue there that we've got to take a hard look at. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I just said, yes. Doug, to help out on that one too. Since this, the requirement here is going to be to have staff actually put the buoys out and mark these lanes, I'll guarantee you that we're going to have staff out looking at this prior before we come to the commission. And then we'll, you know, plus I'm sure even we may even have some discussions with the affected landowners even before then. And then we'll build a, we'll bring that back to his background. I think all John was saying, and you got it right, there's no way we're going to stop anybody from petitioning. You're not asking for that either. You just want to be sure when you actually act on it, you have the relevant information, and we'll definitely go out and make sure that happens.
All right. So any other questions, comments, or we need a motion to approve the proposal?
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Sharp?
Prior to that motion, how does Commissioner Whitmire's comments and ideas and concerns fit in with this? Let's say we make a motion, we approve this petition, it goes out for the public comment period. Will all that stuff be kind of vetted prior to the next meeting when we would vote on this? Is that how we see this happening?
Yeah, Commissioner Sharp, I mean, what you could do is you could put more details in actually the petition process itself, you know, but I would definitely recommend that this is not a one-size-fits-all, and I think you want to keep these sideboards very wide and make sure then once you have these conversations about deny, grant, or modify, that's when you're going to put all of these other things and take all of these other things into consideration. If you were to put those things in rule, you're going to miss something in rule. And then the conversation you're going to have, maybe on a certain situation, you won't have the right things in there. So my advice to you, keep the sideboards wide, and then you can vet all of those things during the conversations when you either grant, deny, or modify that petition to move it into the next stage of public comment. That's all you would be doing with this right now. I mean, there'd still be a lot of discussion, a lot of vetting after the petition is approved or modified.
Okay, so we as a commission would have a right to, let's say a person makes a petition, wants legal access, wants to create a legal right-of-way. However, we find out it's going to be a parking nightmare, make roads impassable, that kind of thing. We can say based on, some circumstances, we just don't feel this is going to be the right way to approach this, so we could deny at that point based on those factors.
Yes, you have the abilities to make those decisions once that petition, even before that petition is modified or approved. I mean, you could deny a petition based off those factors, yes.
Okay, with that in mind, Mr. Chairman, I would make that motion.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Any more discussion, questions, comments? If not, Rachel, would you call the roll?
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor?
All right, so we have 10 minutes until open forum. So I would leave to Scott or Tom. Do you have a 10-minute presentation you could make, or we could take a break, I guess, if you don't?
Mr. Chairman, I recommend we give these commissioners a break. We've been going pretty much since 9 this morning, so I'd say let's take a break and we'll come back at 2.
Okay. Works for me. So we'll start again at 2 o'clock, which is 10 minutes from now.